And honestly, I could be talking about this for 3 hours, but I got a half hour, so I'll work with what I got. So anyway, I just wanted to start off by saying thank you to everyone who supported me on my trip to Brazil, for everyone who prayed for me, and for everyone who helped me growing up, and that was a mentor to me, especially Ed and Pastor Joey. And yeah, I guess we'll get into it. This is my DTS family. Yeah, that was everyone who was part of the DTS, the staff, the students. Yeah, that was really amazing people, getting to know them. And after 5 months of spending almost every day with them, they get to know you in ways that not even really your family knew you. And you just bond with them, and you start knowing just about everything about them. And yeah, these were my group of friends here. Us four were pretty close. That's one standing right next to me. His name is Taibu. He is from Africa. He is 23 years old. He actually did his outreach in Africa as well. He spoke 5 languages, which was very impressive. And then the person standing next to Taibu is Zaka. He is Brazilian. He was learning English, and he became the closest Brazilian to me. We were pretty, even though we really couldn't talk to each other all that much, we talked to each other in different ways, and we grew pretty close. And the person in the Chick-fil-A shirt is Jordan. His parents are American. He was born in the Amazon and then grew up in Rio the rest of his life. And he was learning Arabic. He did his outreach in Jordan. And yeah, these were really great guys to hang out with and spend the time of training with. And yeah, and during training was a really exciting time. What we've learned and everything, there's just so much. I think my favorite class for the whole week was, or out of every week, I think was Relationship and Culture Week. Quite a bit we learned there, and quite a bit that helped me in areas that I was struggling with. I don't want to get into details because I got to get moving with this. But I think one of the biggest things I've learned there was God's perfect timing and trusting in Him. Since I was 16 and I had the and I felt the calling to go to Brazil, I could just see everything that had happened, every small detail that seemed like it wouldn't be a big deal, just led to this, and feeling called to go to Brazil. And I wasn't planning on leaving until January originally, but I felt I should go sooner, so I left in September. And yeah, there's just reasons that was a good thing. Let's get my head in order again. Sorry. So when I went there, within the past 4 DTSs, they had not had an outreach that went to Brazil. So in my outreach, in my DTS, they had a outreach that was going to the Amazon, and I felt God wanted me to stay there. And during the time, a lot of things happened. There wasn't enough people that wanted to go to the Amazon, and quite a few things with the base we were supposed to be going to wasn't working out. And so some of them were saying that, you know, you might have to choose a different outreach. And during that time, I prayed about it, and I just stuck with it. I felt God was telling me to just trust and follow the last thing He told me. And I did that, and 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before, I was the, for outreach, I was the only person going to the Amazon. And within the next week, there were four others coming with me. So that was just truly amazing, and just seeing how God, he always comes through, he always has a perfect timing, and I will never question his timing ever again. I think that was the biggest thing I learned during DTS, and just a thousand other little things that I could get into, but don't quite have time for that. Ministries we did at the base, we have the Hope House. Well, we have the Sarah's House as well. That is for the orphan girls. The Hope House is for the orphan boys. And then we have Project Little Ones, which is we do a bunch of things at the base. About once a month, we have a big activity. I don't have any photos of it, but during that time, we had rented like a bouncy house, three bouncy houses or something, a ball pit and stuff, and we had just 1,000 kids come in from, you know, the streets and stuff, and it was really awesome. Seeing all the little kids, getting to work with them, I helped paint faces and stuff like that. Then we have street ministries. And during street ministries, first time I went to street ministries, it was really sad to see how kids kind of grew up. Some of them ran away from their homes. Some of them never had a home and were abandoned. It was really sad to see all that. And a lot of kids from the age of six were doing drugs. It was definitely something that it was really just sad to see it. And anyway, it was really cool just hanging out with the kids, and some of those kids are so smart and so intelligent. And there was this 8-year-old who knew, he went to school for a little while and then he just kind of stopped going. But anyway, an 8-year-old, he knew multiplication and division tables and was learning English just from people who came to street ministries that spoke English. And during the time, there was this little girl, and she looked about 3 or 4 years old. And so she came up to me, and she wanted to talk to me and stuff. And I needed a translator because at that time I knew how to say good morning, good night, good afternoon, hi and bye. That is it. That is all I knew. And anyway, she tried talking to me and stuff. And at the end of it, I said goodbye to her and she left. And I felt like crap. I thought to myself, I didn't even know how to ask her name. I don't even know what her name was. And me and her spent the entire night together just hanging out and playing and doing a whole bunch of stuff. And I just kind of felt really disappointed. So that was time where I was like, I need to learn this language. I need to get this down. I can't do anything if I don't know it. And that was just a big change for me. And then some weekends we would go and we would do performances for churches or on the streets. We do it probably like once a month. And it was really cool. And then we had Nico. There we go. Nico, there's a rule to Nico. Nico cannot be told. It can only be experienced. What I can tell you is that, well, this was my group that I had. That was one of our leaders. We have Bianca, that's me, Alessandra, and we call him Zaka, but his real name's John Vito. don't ask. It's a long story. Nico, you go on a hike one of the days, you're camping in the woods, and it is a really amazing experience. I'm getting to hang out with people, and just that was a time where we got to know each other quite a bit, because we spent literally every second of every day with each other. Like I said, Nico has to be experienced, can't be explained. I can't tell you anything we do there other than that. So. And then during Christmas, or December, I should say, was kind of just a time of, we did a lot of sightseeing. It was getting to around the end of training, so it wasn't that filled, and we just went out and did more before we had outreach. And this was a photo. We went to Puerto Gigalinas, which is Port of Chickens. And yeah, we went to an SIE shop, which is a Brazilian ice cream. It's really good. And that was just the guys I was hanging out with that day. And then during Christmas was a real blessing. My parents, it was around Thanksgiving, my parents were saying they were praying for me. They were hoping I could go to someone's house, you know, and just kind of spend Christmas with them. And Jonathan, right there in the yellow shirt, he was the closest person I had. He's probably one of my closest friends, including Zaka, Gucci. They were probably my three closest friends there. And it was really good. During about 2 weeks before Christmas, me and him were just sitting down talking. You know, we usually sat down about at least every other night, and we just talk for hours about stuff and just everything we'd experienced in life. And he's about 10 years older than me, actually, and he looks like he's 22 or something. He asked me, he said, "Hey, are you going anywhere for Christmas? Are you going back home?" And I told him that I wasn't, and he's like, "Well, why don't you come over to my place?" He lives an hour away from the base in Recife City. And it was truly an answer to prayer. It was truly a blessing. And we did quite a bit together. We went and saw the new Star Wars movie. It was in English. It was in English, so we're good there. And we just did a lot of other things. We went and saw some sites. We went to Olinda, which is Portuguese for "Oh, beautiful." It's the name of a city, and it truly is a beautiful city. Again, don't have photos of it, because if I did and I was explaining everything, again, it would be 3 hours. This was just kind of his house. This was during the Christmas break. In the background, his sister sitting on the couch watching The Flash, for any of you who know that show. And anyway, me and him were just having lunch, and it was really an amazing time. And we also did some sightseeing. The day before, we had to head back to the base for outreach. We were doing a bunch of sightseeing. We met up with some of the friends from the base in Recife City, and we just went places, went on a boat. Like I said, not as many pictures as I would like, but yeah. And then our first part of outreach was in two parts. For 3 weeks of it, we were in Garenhoots, which is small city. And we were helping out with one of the local churches. We did a VBS here. This was the youngest class. And the reason I decided to show this photo other than the other classes was because this was my favorite class, because the kids were more, you know, not really irritating the living crud out of me. All the other classes pushed me to my limits, and I was about ready to slap some of them. That's me and Gucci. We were in charge of the class most of the time. And over there we have El Givaldo. And that is Ketaline, that is Mada, and I forget her name. She has a very hard name to pronounce for me, at least. So this was the youngest kids, and we had the VBS where we worked with the younger kids. This was the entire VBS we had. I think we had around 80 kids come, so it was a pretty big one. It was really fun, and that was during the Garenhoots outreach. It was two outreaches combined, and then after 3 weeks, we all left for, half of us went to the Amazon, the other half went to Jordan. During the time there, we had the VBS, and we also had house visits, It was house visits, whereas basically we'd just go around the community. We'd have some Bibles that we'd give out, and we would just sit around and talk to people and stuff. And actually, during my time in Gerenhoots, we went out sightseeing one of the weekends that we were there. And anyway, I ran into a Brazilian. Well, he was overhearing me and Bianca, which is the Australian. Me and Bianca were talking, and he recognized accents, and, well, he must not have heard my accent all that much. He thought I was African, or not Australian. I went to go do some stuff, and we were up on this balcony, and this was a very narrow stairway, and this person was coming down, and he was up there when I was talking to Bianca, and he came down, and he spoke to me in English, and I said, oh, you speak English? Of course, I spoke in Portuguese for the sake of his ease, and he told me he was learning Portuguese or English at one of the schools there, and he hoped to go to America one day. And me and him went on talking in Portuguese. And during Christmas is when I when the Portuguese really started to catch on, and I was able to speak more and have more conversations. And so after we got done talking, we were talking for about 10-15 minutes. I said bye, and he, said bye and stuff, and we went about our ways. And anyway, after that, we went to an ice cream shop, and we saw some skateboarders that were trying to accomplish this, 6-foot jump or whatever, and land it. And so far, none of them had been successful. And anyway, we had ice cream, and then we were going back to do some more stuff. And there was a fair that night, and so we were going to stay in until the end of the night. There was bumper cars, roller coasters. It was really fun. And after we got done with ice cream, I was just walking again. I ran into the same guy I talked to before, and it was really weird the way he acted. He said he was sorry because he couldn't speak English accent or American accent. And I asked him. I said, "No, that's fine. That's fine. I can understand accents." And he said, "No, it's not fine." When I was talking to him, I spoke in a Portuguese accent, and when he knew when he was speaking to me, he wasn't speaking in an English accent. So he just wanted to apologize, and he said, "I want to get better in my accent and stuff." I'm like, "Well, yeah, that's good, man." It was just really weird. He felt like he was disrespecting me for not speaking in my accent. It was good though. It was really good in time. And and then Amazon. This was a photo. I don't know if you guys can see it that well. I can't. Okay, thank you, Emma. that was a 4-hour boat ride. That is not comfortable. Being in that kind of boat, 4 hours, was not comfortable, no. Our eardrums were buzzing at the end of it because the motor was literally in that room with us. It was literally, they have a giant pole that led to the, and the motor was right there sitting next to us. And so it was pretty loud. This was when we were on the Amazon. You see these every now and again. These are gas stations for boats. So yeah, that's honestly, I thought they were pretty cool. That was the Amazon. Now you may look at that and think, oh wow, yeah, that's pretty big. That's about 2 or 3 miles wide. It'd take you an hour to get across it by the average boat they had. It doesn't seem like that long, but trust me, it was that long. We did a whole bunch of ministries there. We went to a bunch of villages and stuff, and here was one time I was giving a sermon in one of the villages. In this village, they were devil worshippers. They worshipped demons. There was a lot of incest in the village, and just a lot of very sick things going on there. And it came to, I don't know how long they were doing this, and the village was there for a while, but their chief, or the leader of the village, out of all the villages we went to, we just kind of showed up at them and asked if we could, you know, give a sermon and stuff. But this village, they asked us to come, which was really amazing. The chief said he just felt dead. He didn't want to live. He didn't want to live like he was anymore. He just felt dead inside. And so he wanted us to come and preach. And which was honestly amazing that God was touching him and that he was starting to realize that this isn't what God had for him. And so we went there and preached to the village. Only half the village showed up for the sermon. But yeah, it was good. During our time in Garenhoots, we were given Bibles. I guess they had a bunch of extra Bibles. And so we each took a few of them, us who were going to the Amazon. And so during that time, when we went to the village, I had three Bibles with me. And I asked anyone who didn't have a Bible, I said, does anyone here not have a Bible? And three of them raised their hands. And I had three Bibles with me. And so that was honestly amazing. We had more back at the base, but I thought, well, I'm sure some of them have had Bibles and stuff. And and there was a perfect amount, which was, yeah, that was a blessing that we just happened to have enough. And so we let them keep the Bibles because, I mean, they're Portuguese. I couldn't read them. And then after we did quite a few village visits and stuff, but this was just the one I wanted to point out. And then this right here is Samuel. This was this kid I was by far the closest to in my time in the Amazon. Samuel has five other siblings and two parents. The parents are not officially married. They're together. They live together. But they are not officially, like, married in a way, you could say. But honestly, I love this family. This family was so amazing, and I could tell you more stories about it. We were working at Samuel's house for 2 weeks of the outreach. We'd go over to their place for 5 hours a day, and we were digging a sewer, which in the video I'll show at the end, you'll see some of that. It was just a really cool time. I got to know them, and we were in the Amazon for about 3 weeks, and then we went to the Manaus base, which was a YWAM base, and we went there for the rest of the time, which I'll get to that later. It was just a really cool time with him. And when I was leaving, it was kind of really sad. I guess he was 3 years old. I think maybe he was two. I think he might have just turned three. I don't know. But he was pretty young. And it was pretty sad because I don't know if he just realized that the setting was different because we'd leave him, you know, sometimes he would come over to the pastor's houses where we were staying. We were staying at a local pastor's place near some villages, and normally we would leave him and his mother and some of his younger siblings behind, and we would go out and to villages and stuff and just talk to people. I'm not sure if he realized that something was different about this time when we were leaving, but he was crying. His mom tried comforting, his dad did. He wouldn't stop crying and stuff, and I just kind of came up to him and picked him up and gave him a hug. And he didn't want to let go of me. He held on to me, and we had to literally pull him off me, which was really sad for me. I hope to one day go back and see him again, hopefully when he's older. And maybe me and him can go and do stuff, and we can talk and he was really an amazing kid, and I can see a really good future. Just there was nights where he would be at the pastor's house, and me and him would just sit in my hammock, and I just let him play video games on my phone, sitting there watching him. Anyway, this was a hut from one of the villages we went to, which was, it was pretty cool. The roof was made out of these huge leaves. Absolutely humongous. And this is about a, it's about a square 50-foot building. So it was pretty big. Really cool. They used bark for the siding. And it was just really cool kind of see how they built these things. We were going to help build one, but we never really got to that. But it was really cool being in this community and just hanging out with them. I could tell you more about it. It was really an amazing time. And then after this village, we went to, we went back to the Manaus base, Manaus Ministries. I don't have any photos, but they had more village ministries and places we went to. And it was pretty cool seeing a lot of other things. I was able to speak some Portuguese and stuff, and this old lady was talking, and I didn't understand a word she was saying. Later on, I find out that she's not speaking Portuguese at all. She's speaking a native Brazilian language. And it's not Portuguese, so I was like, oh, wow, I don't know what she's saying. We discovered what the native language was, and it was nothing. The accent was different than Brazilian accent or Portuguese accent, I should say. It was different. After that, back at the Manaus base, we had, they had a whole bunch of coconut trees. The rule is on coconut trees that everywhere we went to, if you can grab them, you can have them. And I was able to grab them. So I had quite a few. We just kind of did a whole bunch of preparing. Have only one DTS, one mission adventure, which those of you who don't know what mission adventure was, I went there when I was 17 to a mission adventure over in Madison. It's about a week long. And they had Nico, which is what I explained earlier. And it was just a lot of stuff, but we were preparing the base, all the grass kind of grew up, and in Brazil, it never stops growing. It's going 100% of the time. You cut it about once every 2 weeks. And yeah, you wait any longer than that, you are going to be, you're going to have a machete and you're going to be chopping it. That's pretty much all we did at the Manaus base. We had leaderships every week of DTS, during outreach of DTS. One of the weeks in the, I was only leader for 1 week, and that was when we were at the Manaus base. And during when we got back to Manaus base, it was a very difficult time during stuff that happened in the Amazon and more stuff that happened at the base. I honestly thought that at the end of our outreach, it was going to end up in flames. It wasn't going to be successful. All of us were going to hate each other. And it was the last week of DTS. And I don't know, the base started, knew of our problems, so they started helping out and stuff, and they had more activities to do as a team. And it was really, I don't know what happened, but if you would have told me that week, the beginning of that last week of outreach, that we were going to have it was all going to be good, everything would be fine at the end of DTS, and we'd all be close as heck, I would have said, you are absolutely crazy. We are going to end up hating each other for the rest of our lives. And during that last week, I don't know what happened, but all of us had never been closer. It was honestly amazing. And the fact that we weren't even really talking to each other, it was kind of foreigners versus Brazilians, kind of, that's kind of how it was. This dispute was going, and we never really talked to each other, and then at the end of it, we were as close can be. It was pretty awesome, just everything that happened there. And then, Yeah, after that, we had graduation, which is, it was pretty nice. In the background, we have the three flags of where we went to. There's the Brazilian, the Jordan one's right behind me, and I forget the name of that one. But anyway, yeah, it was fun. Anyway, that is Mada. Protect her with your life. She is amazing. She gives amazing hugs. She is like the best person there, I think. And once I knew Portuguese to actually speak to her and have some conversations with her, it only made me love her more. And yeah. Yep, she is a really amazing woman. And anyway, during graduation, we have a dinner. They take us out to Brazilian. It's fancy and expensive. It's 60 reais. To American, that's called 15 bucks. But anyway, it was a very fine, it was fine dining. You had like all these meats, and it was, yeah, it was really good time, just, you know. And so anyway, that was, we were taking photos in a corner. And anyway, that was me and the two closest, well, that was Jonathan and Gauthier. Zaka never finished training, I should say. 2 weeks before the end of training, he got into some trouble involving drugs and the Hope House. And we all knew he struggled with those things, but it was really sad to see him leave. And I'm hoping he decides to do another one, honestly. But anyway, yeah, so that was us three. We're just taking random photos. And if you look closely, you can see that I have a beard. I grew it out my time there. It's not the best beard. It's pretty bad. But I grew it out. And honestly, I'm not disappointed. And so anyway, and these were, the three, gringos, I should say, that finished outreach. Gringos is just Portuguese for foreigner. And there's me, the one in the pink dress is Bianca. She was on outreach with me. And Stephanie went to Africa. She's in the purple shirt. And that was Jonathan. I think us four were probably... Yeah, us four were definitely really close. We did a lot of things together. But yeah, it was a really good time hanging out with them. And yeah, that's pretty much everything. I have a short video. Well, more a 3-minute video. But yeah, that's pretty much everything that happened there. It was really an amazing time. And for anyone who may be considering doing a DTS ever in the future, do it and stick with it, and it will be amazing. Ethan, could you play the video?
Now within us, breaking molds and freed us, praise you. Yeah, we praise you. Bye.